Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices. Advices.
Welcome to Advices Radio, episode 13. I'm your host, Scott McNally. Advices is presented by Knapps Gear, and tonight we have a treat. I know I say that all the time, but I mean it all the time too. We've got a treat here. We've got Scott S2H. He is from PED Radio. He had done PED 40-something episodes deep. Man, I learned so much from this guy. A lot of people learned a lot from him. He's been in bodybuilding and understanding bodybuilding chemistry for a long, long time, and he's here with us tonight to help spread some information. Scott, thanks for being here, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, getting started here, the first thing I really want to ask you is, where can people look for information if they want to get educated like you? Because I feel like a lot of the young guys, they come to the boards and they're asking questions that just demonstrate like how little they do know. And there's got to be more than just the message boards. You know, what has inspired you to learn everything you've learned?
You know, I started out in the era where there was no internet, or maybe there was, but I didn't know about it. And, you know, mainly it was magazines and Dan Duchesne's first book, Underground Steroids, and the Bible, we called it. And so I didn't do as much as Dan Duchesne did, sorry, lab ratting myself, but I took the take that, you know, hey, if you're going to figure out something, you probably need to try it out, you know? I draw the line at certain things, you know.
What do you mean? Oh, okay, stuff, yeah.
You know, but, you know, Dan had a lot of good stuff, and a lot of this stuff still holds true today. You know, he was miles, you know, years and miles above his time. So I kind of started out with that, and then I just kind of, you know, I mean, I was pretty uneducated at first. That would be an understatement, you know. People ask me, you know, what was your first cycle? I don't know. It was oil. It was a pin.
Yeah.
And it was a big pin, 18 gauge.
Oh God.
Because that's all we could get, you know. But back then, everything was pharmaceutical.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, there was no UGLs. So, you know, we just tinkered and tried different things and found things that worked and things that didn't. But I didn't, you know, PED use wasn't the main focus when I trained, when I powerlifted, went through those days. People didn't really like talk about it as much, you know.
Sure.
It wasn't maybe your closest lifting partner or another guy or somebody you knew real well, you might discuss something, but it really wasn't something that you talked about a lot. So you kind of just had to practice on yourself.
Was it out of fear because of legalities, or what do you think the reason for that was?
No, I was overseas. It was legal.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We just went out to the pharmacy and bought it.
So this is just because it was a taboo subject. People didn't, cause I, you know, we were just talking a little bit before the show started. The climate has changed so much. People are open so much now. You know, you've got guys that are doing videos, pinning gear, like right in the gym parking lot, you know, and it just really extreme, crazy stuff that's shocking. And I know sometimes they want it to be shocking, but what do you think's changed? Why is the climate so different now?
I've been in parking lots before. I mean, you know, I think it's easier to judge people wrong, fairly or unfairly, because of the internet.
Okay.
You know, I condone something like Boston Lloyd?
Yeah.
But I don't judge him, you know, in a way, a sense that, you know, he does some things. I go, well, shit, I did that before, you know.
Sure.
You know, I think it has become somewhat dangerous because it's so wide, you know, it's so out there now with the internet and,
yeah,
and different, you know, Twitter and all that stuff. And, but, no, I just don't think guys really, it was more about the training. It's more like just the mentality of just seek and destroy the weights, you know?
Yeah.
And the PED side was just kind of there.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did some stupid stuff when I was younger. Looking back at it now.
Right.
Thinking, my
right.
God, what the hell was I thinking?
Sure.
And, it worked though, but, you know, it was, if I posted online, like what I did 20 something years ago,
yeah,
I would get flamed from front to back.
I got you.
You know? But the knowledge wasn't there. And then occasionally you'd run into a guy who'd been around the sport longer and, you know, they might spread a little bit of knowledge if they knew you well enough.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't, it wasn't something that people brought up, you know, it just kind of, you had to figure it out for yourself.
Interesting.
You know?
So a lot of trial and error, but then you've got a lot of science knowledge too. Stuff that I guess it would require research. Are you like looking online, reading papers and stuff like that, taking it to that level, or do you focus just on the anecdotal side? Because I think that both sides, if I were to go to one side or the other, I say that, like, for me, it's my personal experience. It's anecdotal experience I've seen with people that I'm working with. That's where I base a lot of my knowledge from. And I take that way over any study, any day of the week, you know, real world application. But are you also using any type of literature to kind of form your opinions too?
Yeah, I do. I tend to avoid message forum literature.
Gotcha.
So yeah. I will go directly to, you know, clinical trials and well, they're not, and on, when I first started reading them several years ago, they're not the easiest things to read.
That's no kidding, man.
You have to figure out what's going on.
Okay.
You know, you got placebo groups, you got this group, you got different, you know, dosing schedules and they put it in, you know, more of a, they structure the wording a lot different. So,
yeah,
you know, it took me a while. Like I would like, I actually had a vocabulary book and I'd like figure out what the word meant, you know,
that's commitment. That's, you know, commitment right there.
And, so stuff like that. I really didn't start doing more research type thing until I tore my labrum in 96. I quit any type of training for about 4 years.
Okay.
And I didn't know at the time, because I was just really good at golden tea and drinking, that when I decided, when I got to a really, really high weight, in the 340s or something,
yeah,
that I needed to lose some weight and get back in shape. And I dropped a ton of weight in a year. And that's when I realized that when I had my blood work done, my testosterone was, okay, it was either 98 or 96, one of the two. And I thought to myself, man, I'm in good shape now, but I feel like crap.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And so then I started researching. So that was about 2001, 2002.
Okay.
I thought, you know, why did I, how did I get in this position?
Interesting.
And I had a good mentor, a good coach that was very well versed, old school, but very bright. And so I learned a lot from him. And I'm kind of a people watcher, maybe, you know?
Okay.
So you know, I met a lot of people during my time locally in the state, you know, that competed, and I'd kind of see how they performed, and, you know, we trained together, multiple people, and what they were doing, and, you know, kind of took my own take on it. Not always said something, but, you know,
yeah,
kind of absorbed the information, you know.
So really a large part of what you're talking about is just being kind of being involved over a long period of time is what it really takes. And I think you're right, man, because I'm all for research and reading about, let's say, like, theory, but there's nothing that compares to actually going into an experiment yourself. I feel like that information is so much more valid, and it's a lot of what I've developed, my own takes on things. So I'm happy to have you here, man, because I feel like you've put a lot of thought into the research and the experimentation you've done. And I feel like we've got a chance here to hear some cool insights. The first thing I want to ask you about, as far as insights go, you told me that you said that if I paid attention on PED, there was a couple things that you didn't like talking about. One of those was insulin, and the other one was DMP. I could see, man, for good reason too. Both of them could be extremely dangerous. But you said that there is a way that DMP can be used safely. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I learned this through someone else. So I didn't figure this out on my own.
Okay.
I learned it through a really bright guy that's a coach. He's got IFBB pros now and stuff. I mean, nice. But he's very conservative too. And it was more through a conversation about it, not that I was using it or somebody else was using it. But he explained to me, he said, you see these guys that are running like these ketogenic diets.
Yeah.
And they're running these huge amounts of DNP. And they'll say, oh, I'm not that hot. It's not that bad. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it doesn't feel that, you know, it's not, you know, not the end of the world, but you're looking at, they're taking 750 milligrams, whew, you know, and you're thinking, man, that's crazy. Well, the problem thing is that it takes carbohydrates to uncouple, to cause DNP to uncouple.
Okay.
But it takes a certain kind of carbohydrate.
Yeah.
And so I inquired more. Course, and and I tried this too, so I had to, because, you know, it's just me. But you can get great effects out of DNP, and let me step back real quick. There's some really piss poor DNP sources.
Okay.
So you need to make sure that you're getting the right kind of DNP, the crystallized kind, in the little sleeves, not the caps, that you don't have any idea how much is in there, you know. The use of fruit as your carbohydrate source should be your primary carbohydrate source.
No kidding, huh?
And fruit, mainly blueberries, watermelon, cantaloupe, you know, any kind of fruit that's high antioxidants to it, you know?
Yeah.
That should be your primary carbohydrate source.
Weird.
And it's actually a pretty high carbohydrate source, because just because you're using a lower amount of DNP, if you use more of those type of carbs, it accelerates the effects of DNP without the bad side. I'm not saying you're not going to get warm or anything. But,
right,
you know,
right.
You know, you hear about these guys, oh, I'm laying in bed with five fans and air's on 58 and I'm about to die.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty mild. You know, and what those fructose carbs do is they replenish, you know, the stores in the liver.
Okay.
And that's critical in that process, and they do it the best. So, you know, and then the V8 juice, that was like the mandatory. One can of V8 juice has, I forget, it's like 20 times the amount of nutrients that you get out of, you know, whole foods.
Interesting.
So, because you're basically having to replace, you know, essential minerals,
right,
that your body doesn't produce. So, and then the fruit and everything. So it's I'm not advocating to go out and use ZNP.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can get away with it at a low dose with the proper diet. And it's not that bad. And be honest with you, I know a lot of guys who use it at the start of their prep.
Yeah.
Right at the very beginning of their contest prep. Get that kind of off-season fat off.
Yeah, I've heard of guys doing this. Well, I used it one time, and I used it after I was already really lean. If I were to do it again, I think I would use it at the start. I'm probably never going to need it. I stay pretty lean year-round, but I could see that as being a good idea. It was difficult, man. I suffered all the side effects. Plus, it was the middle of summer, and I was working a real physical job that was in the elements and everything. So, man, it sucked. I think I started at 250, and I worked my way up to 500. And at 500, man, I felt dead. You know, like I felt like my ATP, it was just, everything was just shot. I had zero energy. Yeah, it was bad. When you're saying like low dosing, what are we talking as far as like what would be an effective dose while coupling it with carbohydrates like this, like from fruit sources?
200 milligrams tops.
Okay. Yeah.
Tops. You go 100.
Huh. All right.
I mean, the thing is that people don't, you're not going to get the feel.
Yeah.
That people read about on the internet. So they think, oh, I'm not getting the feel.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm about to die. So, you know, I mean, it's not working. But when you get on the scale and when you get your body fat checked, it is working. You know, you have to, and you have to be cautious too, because anybody that's using like a beta blocker or SSRIs or muscle relaxers or stuff like that,
yeah,
you got to avoid those.
Really?
They can really become dangerous at that point. You know, of course, you're wreck drugs and all that crap too. But you know, it's not something that I advocate to clients. And it's not something I've used in a long time, but it can be used pretty safely. And of course, people are going to listen to the show and they're going to go, this guy's crazy. It's poison.
Yeah.
But you know what? Nobody died back in the 20s from it.
Right.
The deaths occurred in England more recently in cap forms that were way overdosed for the majority of the deaths that occurred, you know, in modern times.
Yeah.
It was one particular company. I don't remember who it was, but, they were sending out caps that had like, that said they were 100 milligrams and they were like 400 or something.
Oh God.
And of course people didn't know anything but about the diet aspect of it. And
sure.
There were some deaths in England, over the last couple of years. But, some people use ECA with it. It will drag you down a little bit. I'm not a huge ECA fan.
Okay.
Just because I don't do well with it, but I wouldn't oppose it. I mean, I think there's some possibilities to it. You know, there's some you know, vitamin E, C. You know, pretty much actually, Barlean's makes a that super fruit.
Yeah.
It's not the green fruit, the super fruit one.
Okay.
That there probably will pretty much cover the whole realm outside of the fruit that you're eating.
Interesting.
Carbohydrates.
Okay.
Yeah. It covers pretty much all the bases.
Okay.
And lots of water.
Yeah. Well, so what kind of results did you see when you used this at a really low dose and coupled it with fruit like you're talking about?
I think I lost like, I only did it for like 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
Yeah, I lost like 8 pounds.
Damn. That's a lot of weight, man.
Yeah. So I was almost all body fat. You know, it was not any muscle.
So you're telling me the majority of your carbs at the time were from fruits, mostly berries, huh? That's interesting.
Watermelon.
Okay.
I would have like half a watermelon. Just like cut it, you know, in a quarter. Like,
yeah.
Eat it. I didn't really count it as well as I probably should have.
Yeah.
But berries, you know, cantaloupe. I like cantaloupe too.
Okay.
Any of your fruits, bananas suck. Don't use those.
No.
No. Well, they have potassium. That's what they don't, you know, but the bananas don't have they're not real high in carbs anyway. So,
okay.
No, most of your berry, your hanging fruit,
Huh.
You know, stuff like that. But I know several people that have used this technique very low.
Interesting. You know what? If I ever try it again, which is going to be like a big if, I definitely think I'd want to go a route like that because I, you know, like I said, I'll probably never need it again. In fact, I can't really think of anybody that's ever really needed it. Everybody I've ever talked to that's used DNP has always said they just wanted to see what it was like, you know, they wanted to see for themselves. But if I ever did, I think I'd go for something like that, man, because 100 milligrams a day, that sounds a lot more tolerable. And you think that the crystal is the best way to go? Because I've seen powder version versus crystal version. And, you know, and then I've seen the actual caps as well. But you think to get like just the pure crystal DMP would be probably your best bet, huh?
Yeah. Avoid the caps like the plague because you don't know what, unless you're going to open them up and weigh them.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know what's in there. You know, you want to weigh it all out. No matter what form it is in, because you don't really know what you're getting, you know.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
You can jam a whole lot in a cap.
Hell yeah, yeah. Especially depending on the size of that cap, man. That could be a whole hell of a lot of DMP. I guess you're right, man. I wouldn't want to trust somebody else to, you know, keep my life, my health, and my safety in their hands.
Yeah, it's not something I'll probably ever do again.
Yeah.
But it was my, I just got to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, kind of the Duchesne, the Dan Duchesne thing, you know, when you started out reading his book for the first, that was the first thing you ever read to led you to anything. You know, you kind of got that experimental mentality.
Yeah. You want to pioneer kind of pioneer your own body.
Pioneer myself to death.
So, yeah. So speaking of pioneering, I think that peptides are kind of on the forefront of pioneering. You know, there's so many different things out there. In the last 10 years, we've seen just a huge rise in the availability of different compounds that we had never seen at all before. Out of all these peptides, do you think that any of them are really worth a damn?
HGH.
Okay. Let me rephrase that. How about like the research peptides that are available? All of your like secretagogues and your in the GHRPs and your CJCs, the peptides on that level.
You know, I was in that kind of industry for a while, and I messed with every combination that you could think of known to man.
Okay.
And, you know, and it did things that even people weren't doing, just to see if it would work. And really, IGF-1 LR3, I would say, Ipamorelin are probably the only two that I would, you know, probably advocate.
Okay.
You know, I had just like a freak thing with IGF-1 LR3 one day. I didn't read it anywhere. I decided, hey, I'm going to take a post-workout.
Okay.
So I had Vitargo. God, Vitargo. I mean, you might get shot for having Vitargo now.
Why is that? What do you mean? It's too old school. You got to have like the highly branched cyclic dextrin. Vitargo's good, man.
Vitargo's like a 1955 Ford, you know, and to some people, you know.
Okay.
I don't mind it. But
yeah.
I was taking, what I would do is I would take it with me in a little cooler bag. And as soon as I finished my last set, off to the restroom. Boom. IGF-1, LR3. The in-the-muscle train thing, I can't buy into that.
Me either.
Because it spreads through, I mean, it's systematic. It goes through your body so fast.
Sure.
How in the hell does it do anything wherever you put it in?
Right.
It's long gone in seconds. And then I would chug this Vitargo leucine mix.
Okay.
And, hey, I started getting leaner and vascular, and I would get these freaky pumps.
Okay.
And, I did it for quite a while, and then it kind of ran its course after 3 or 4 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
Then I gave up on it. That's how I am. I kind of do something for 3 or 4 weeks, and I go find something else to do.
Okay.
And then, but it's one that I I would advocate, and I feel like it's one that's of the peptides that's probably more consistent on the market.
You think so? So you think the stuff out there that's available that we're getting real IGF?
I would say that it's more consistent. Yeah, I would say that it's not a hard peptide to synthesize.
Okay.
It's not real costly. It's not like follistatin or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I found very few that didn't work.
Yeah.
I've actually used real IGF before.
Okay.
But it's so fast. It's like, you know, it's here and gone.
Yeah.
The LR3, the Epimorelin, Sermorelin, those are two that I had a friend that was going to an anti-aging doctor that were using those two.
Okay. And,
the cost made it completely worthless.
Sure.
You might as well go jog 2 miles or something.
Because sure.
It was outrageous, the price. But I'm at that point, I would see some value in it. But now with something like MK677 out, I think MK677 is pretty much just like dusted a lot of things.
That's where I was going to move on next, man. What do you now? We've talked about this, you and I. I've also heard you talk a great deal about MK back on the PED radio show. But tell me more about this MK. What do you think about it? And how would you suggest somebody dose it? And can they run it long term? Just share with me all your thoughts. This is not for the listening audience, by the way. This is for me because I love this stuff and I want to pick your brain on it.
I was using 25 milligram caps.
Okay.
And I'll be the first one to admit I'm not a liquid fan.
All right.
That much at all. So I was using 25 milligram caps. I'll knock the liquid research places, but you know, I'm sure there's some that are fine, but I was taking it right at bedtime. I mean, literally taking it, go to bed.
Yeah.
And I was finding out I was really, really groggy in the morning.
Okay.
To the point where like hazy, up for a couple of hours. So I backed it off before my bedtime.
Okay.
You know, like a couple hours. And then I slept just as good.
Yep.
You know, it's just like GH street dreams, you know, you're like, you wake up thinking something like happened that didn't, you know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't quite as foggy in the morning, but the pumps and the fullness was just unreal. When I got sick a while back, I lost all that weight. When I got salmonella poisoning, MK basically pounded it, the weight back on.
Nice.
No time. I think it's it'll get banned or something. I don't know. It probably is. Who knows? I don't keep up with the laws that much, but I think it's one of the ones that's out now that's real. That's really legitimate.
You know? I agree. Yeah. Yeah. The sleep is great on it. I noticed my fingernails grow a lot faster on MK677. I looked down. I realized they've got to be trimmed just way more often. You know, I never got any of that weird sleep stuff from GH, but I definitely noticed that sleep is just amazing with the MK.
Yeah. I would probably compare it to Seristem because for some reason Seristem and MK give me the same kind of feelings.
That's not a bad comparison to make then, man. That sounds very promising.
And I've had a prescription for growth. And, you know, when you get one, a lot of times they don't always have the same brands.
Okay.
When you go to refill. So I had to go through, like, you know, the T's, Tropins, the Go Quicks, the Seristems, the kind of like whatever they had, their supplier was supplying.
Okay.
And I always got more out of Seristem.
Hmm.
You know, bigger, better pumps, better fullness, better sleep. Not to knock any other ones, but that's just what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nuts non-peptides. It stimulates ghrelin, you know. But, you know, you find people, I think we were talking on the other show, that there's people that don't respond to it that well.
You've noticed that too, huh?
Well, that's because they probably don't have any. They don't have anything to release.
Okay.
There's that possibility.
Okay.
And I've seen that, and it's not always been age dependent. You know, you think, okay, it's maybe somebody's 60, they're gonna have get less results at MK, but that may not be the case.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, I don't get the carpal tunnel or the hands. I can't hold my steering wheel or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I also noticed I discontinued using GH while on it. And then when I started the GH back up, a week later, I noticed my skin had that glow again. And I'm guessing that it had gone away because I noticed an improvement in my skin starting GH back up. So there's something that I wasn't getting out of the MK. But you don't combine the two, correct? You don't like to use...
Oh, my God. I combined the two, and I looked like the Michelin man. I mean, I was so bloated. It was miserable.
Yeah,
and it was hilarious because about a week or two later, a friend of mine calls me.
Okay.
He says, hey, have you used MK and GH together? I go, oh, man, don't ever do that. He's like, oh, yeah, my chin's hanging out. My stomach's out. He goes, it's miserable.
That's funny, man. Yeah,
it'll go away in a couple of days, you know.
Right.
I don't know why it is, because there are some guys that mix them and they don't have a problem.
Yeah, I don't have an issue, man. But then again, I don't really hold a lot of water from GH on its own either. So, I guess everybody's different. It makes me a little bit fuller, and I mostly notice that fullness if I'm dieting and using something like T3 that might make me feel real flat. Then I kind of have more like of a pump in the gym, regardless of where my calories are. But yeah, man, I don't get a ton of a ton of bloat from GH to begin with. I guess we're all different, right?
Yeah, I mean, we are. And that's something people don't realize is, you know, is no one's DNA is the same.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's not too many Kevin Lebronis around, I can tell you that.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just a lot of people that, you know, they react differently to things, and their bodies, what works one good for one person just doesn't work good for another.
Sure. And
sometimes you can't figure out why. You know, you just got to chalk it up as, hey, it's not for me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't even really help to figure out why. If you know why, you know, if you know something's not working, then all you really need to know is that it's not working, and you could stop and find what does, right?
Yeah. I mean, I had a training partner. This guy had the worst genetics on earth.
Okay.
I mean, they were horrific. I mean, they were awful. And he's a longtime friend, and he wanted to start training, and he wanted to put some size on and start him out slow and everything, and worked him up, and he trained hard and everything. And he trained for a year and looked like he never touched a weight.
No kidding.
You know, his genetic, he was just genetic disposition was just horrible.
Poor guy.
I mean, he probably had myostatin enough for like 12 people or something.
Right. I don't know.
You know, it was, I felt bad for him in a way, because he was weak and he never got any stronger.
Yeah.
And he just had the hardest time putting any muscle on.
Okay.
You know, no matter what the diet, I mean, I almost pulled my hair out trying to figure out how to put some size on this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you just suck. I told him that. Yeah, I knew him real well, so I could tell him that. But
did he ever figure anything out?
Nah, he got divorced.
Oh, and quit, huh?
he found the bar.
Oh, okay. So. Sometimes divorce leads to like the best changes in the gym that you could possibly see. You know, I've seen those guys that get divorced and then they just like a fire lights under them, and then they get in shape like better than they ever have in their entire life.
Yeah. But, this, you could light a volcano under this guy. You know, I don't know why. Just one of those things, you know.
So we're talking about the MK, which I consider that to be one of the more like new and exciting things that's in bodybuilding right now as far as chemistry goes. What are your thoughts on the YK11?
The jury is out somewhat. I mean, okay. they kind of label these things funny too. Like they label MK as a SARM.
Right.
It really isn't. It's not a SARM.
What would you consider it, a steroid?
it's a GH mimetic.
Okay. Know,
it's a Greedagog. I mean,
or the YK-11. I misunderstood you. I got you.
Actually, YK is a DHG drive drug.
Sure. Okay.
So, it's probably walking the line of not being one it's probably pushing the limit more than some of the other ones, I would say.
Yeah.
But it has some properties where it's been shown to increase follistatin production.
I saw that. I've read about that. Do you think that there's some truth to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's through my human rat.
Yeah, yeah.
decided that it worked.
Okay.
I think the problem you're going to run into with YK is that there's nothing really to compare it to.
Okay.
As in, like, if you mass, you know, I don't know if there's any way for suppliers to know if they're really getting YK-11.
Mm.
So you're going to have to be kind of pretty picky about, you know, figure out who might have the real YK and who doesn't.
Okay, interesting.
But I recently saw someone who was on YK that I know, and I hadn't seen him in about 2 weeks, and I saw him, like, damn, dude, you've been on some size.
Hmm.
I thought he was on insulin. And he goes, no, I'm on this. He pulled it out. It's YK-11.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, you know, this is good. It reminded me of the follistatin days.
Damn. You know,
when things just kind of like all of a sudden changed, you know, suddenly.
Yeah.
A lot rounder, a lot more shape to his physique.
Yeah.
He was already a pretty good sized guy, so it wasn't like he was twig. But he kind of sold me on it. But,
okay. You
know, I think I might have tried that one. I
found that at least, and like you said, you know, it's impossible or it's hard to tell, you know, who's getting real YK-11. I got some from somebody who, at least I know he believes he had gotten real YK-11. And this guy is somebody I'd consider to be fairly reputable as far as the stuff he's getting. I found that it affected my appetite. I found that a lot of oral steroids tend to affect my appetite in the off season, make it really hard for me to eat. And after about 5 days on the stuff, my appetite just went away. So I experienced that, and I was taking it all in one dose pre-workout. I also started getting like a little bit of light acne on my biceps. So those were the things I experienced. But once again, man, I'm not 100% certain it was the real deal.
Well, it's got some liver toxicity to it.
Okay. So it's possible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's another one of those ones where I think is it going to go to the level that MK is going to?
Okay.
As in, hey, wait, we've got something here that's working, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
In this industry, maybe not.
Hmm.
I think if you get a reputable source and you get the right, you know, quality product, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It'll work pretty well. So, yeah, I think he said he put on 11 pounds in 2 weeks.
That's a lot of weight, man.
Yeah, and it was a good-looking 11 pounds. It wasn't bloaty, like D-ball.
Okay.
11 pounds, you know.
Yeah.
It was a solid round, you know, round. It was just like that follistatin when we used it way back. It was that kind of round, grainy, you know, that look you want.
I remember you telling that follistatin story on PED. Can you tell that one here?
Yeah.
I would love love to hear that again. I'm sure the audience would too.
So I was running this, I was working this sales thing team for this peptide company, which I won't mention because they're dicks. Because they fucked me. And I had three salesmen, and we were on ProMuscle and a couple other boards, and he said, "Oh, I got this follistatin." You know, it's the guy, the owner. He said, and we're like, "Well, is it tagged?" And he's like, "No, it's not tagged." So we're like, "Oh yeah, whatever."
You know? Okay.
At this point, I my belief in him was not too high, and so myself and one of the other reps got it, and I took it for a week, and I stopped taking it. I mean, it was just like, it was like mutant, like something.
No kidding.
Was, I mean, I don't get too concerned about things, and I've done some pretty wild things in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is not really normal, you know?
Yeah.
My body was changing, like, daily.
Wow.
I mean, in a good way. And the other rep I had, he stayed on for 21 days. And he didn't even go to the gym. And he gained, like, 20 pounds or something.
Jeez.
So, and then the next batch was tagged, and everybody got giant welts, and that was the end of it.
So, can you explain to us what you mean when you say tagged versus untagged?
Okay, tag is like a license plate.
Okay.
So, what they do is when they synthesize things, peptides or different, you know, chemicals, they use this tag, and it speeds the process up so they can synthesize things really fast that okay. maybe take a long time if you do it untagged. And you have to, so they tag things to expedite the process.
Yeah.
So they can turn more product out. The problem is the tag itself is not, your body rejects it.
Okay.
You know, it's like sticking, you know, end of a pin in you or something. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
That's not a part of your body. Part of your anatomy, so I mean, we're talking some nasty welts.
Mm.
I mean, two inch raises, 6 inches across stomach, itchy. You know, I was lucky. I got smart enough to avoid the second round.
Yeah,
too much. I got stung. I got stung once, so
okay.
I decided not to be that brave anymore. No, the first 100 vials that we sold, people were like ecstatic.
I bet.
And then they all got welts. And then we all looked like assholes. So it's like, oh, great. You know, thanks for. And then the guys screwed me over some more on something else. So
yeah,
it was just downhill from there.
What do you think overall of like research chemicals and, you know, the peptide sites? Do you think that a research chemical is that something that you would use?
I have no real use to use them.
Sure.
Prescriptions for much anything I need.
Okay. Okay.
There was one particular peptide place that was not in the open.
Okay.
That had really good stuff, but they I don't know what happened to them. They kind of disappeared.
Okay.
So, I mean, I wouldn't say I wouldn't. I'd buy LR3 from, you know, whatever.
Okay.
What's the main ones, you know, the same ones you see on most of the boards. If I wanted to, I don't take any more. Matter of fact, I think I threw out like 400 vials of peptides out of my freezer one day.
Holy cow. That's a, that's a shame.
Well, they were like frozen into a block.
It was
like a big chunk.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I just collected them and, no, cause MK, you know, I mean, really, I just go the MK route.
Okay. Okay. What about
all the research people are like, oh my God, don't say that. But they sell MK too, so.
Sure. But, what about all the, yeah, like the research, just the research chemicals in general? Is it going to be as easy to say, you know, dose CLAN or T3? Are you going to get as good a quality? Can you get as good a quality of Arimidex as you would from the pharmacy? Or would you suggest to stay away from that stuff? I just wonder what your take is on those things.
I would say that nothing's going to be as good as the pharmacy.
Okay.
Well, and obviously, CLIN, you can't buy in a pharmacy in the U.S.
Sure.
I will say this, though, that CLIN probably is one of your more likely liquid researches to stay in suspension and to work properly. If you can – I mean, it's so hard to measure that stuff sometimes.
True.
You know, you've got like, you know, you're talking 20 micrograms. You know, you may not be right on the number.
Right.
I think CLIN, I'll kind of give it a pass. I think it's probably one of the ones that I would say you probably can get some use of. Thyroid medications, there is no way in hell I would use a liquid thyroid medication.
Okay. Why is that? Just because of the dosing?
I had a doctor that specializes in women's hormones and thyroids. He's like a world renowned. He wrote all these books and stuff.
Okay.
He wouldn't even support generic T3 tabs.
Wow.
Let alone a liquid.
I can only imagine the look on his face if you showed him a research website.
Yeah, he knew about him.
Okay.
He was very well educated. I mean, he had no computer. I mean, it was the guy was a trip.
Yeah.
He helped a friend of mine out that had a really bad thyroid problem. And Brand. It comes thyroid, Brand.
Interesting.
That's all I can say.
So you mentioned, you said that with Klen, it will hold up pretty well in the liquid. What do you mean by that? Are you suggesting that maybe there's other drugs that don't suspend well in liquid, that you it wouldn't be a good idea to use that route for that reason?
I've heard from some people that Aromidex, Aromacin, those are two I'll name that tended to not perform as well as the research chemical got older.
Okay. You know? Okay.
Because obviously they come in pretty. I mean, what, 30 mil.
Yeah.
Most of them are.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of liquid.
Sure.
And you've got all these different raw compounds.
Right.
And you're suspending them in one type of fluid, one type of liquid.
Right.
Does that mean that they all, you know, are, you know, suspend as well, or you know, is their bioavailability just as good with that liquid? You don't see any papers on that.
Yeah,
but I would question that if you lined them all up, you know, from top to bottom.
Interesting.
And see how effective the dosing was on them. See how, you know, how they've, if actually, you know, 1 milliliter of Arimidex was actually, you know, 1 milliliter.
Yeah, yeah.
Over time, as you use the product, you know, I'm not saying that it isn't. So all the research people like jump up and down.
No.
I've gotten feedback from people to say, hey, I'm on clients. You know, hey, I'm on, my estrogen's gone up. Why? Yeah, yeah. What are you using? Well, I'm using a liquid. It's almost always a liquid that seems to be the culprit. You know, and they go to tabs and it repairs it. It, you know, the estradiol goes back into range.
Yeah.
At the same dose. So, you know, 2 + 2 = 4.
You know? It makes total sense, because I've seen situations where I buy something, or, you know, I'll say somebody buys something from a research lab and it seems to be good. And then over time, it seems to be less effective. And what everybody always thinks is that the company themselves is purposefully, you know, cutting corners, maybe giving less of the hormone, dropping the dose without telling you. I can see this as being just as likely of a reason for there being problems. It makes total sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, I don't think there's any intention.
Okay.
You know, I really don't. And, you know, in an industry where sometimes intention is questioned,
yeah.
I don't think it's an intention. I think it's just that, you know, you're talking about a vast variety of drugs being put in the same kind of solution.
Yeah.
Is it all going to react the same?
It makes total sense to me. Absolutely.
So, you know, that's why you go to your nurse practitioner and get prescriptions.
That makes sense too.
Except for Aromacin, because they won't give you that. They'll give you that one, but you got to pay cash for it.
Yeah. I've heard that people have a hard time getting their insurance to cover that one for some reason.
Yeah. I went to Costco thinking, because Costco's the bomb.
Yeah.
And you want something cheap, go to Costco.
Okay.
Yeah. Aromacin, 30, 25 milligram tabs, $380 something. I was like, I'll pass on that one.
Damn.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I've had a lot of trouble with my estrogen as I've gotten older.
Okay.
And Arimidex really, I just can't get it to stabilize. Yeah, it just doesn't want to work for me.
No kidding.
So yeah, but Aromacin works much better for me. So
I'm the opposite.
As you get older, it'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as you get older, your body increases its amount of aromatase enzymes.
Okay,
so that's why when you get old, your testosterone drops.
Okay. You
know, andropause, or whatever crafty name they want to give it.
Right.
You're going in the other direction.
Right.
Yeah. I like Aromacin. Actually, I do, but Arumidex, I read a study. It looks like a real study, not some message board. Arumidex actually outperformed Letrozole.
Yeah.
In its elimination of estrogen.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. It performed better. So.
Hmm. I love Arumidex. I mean, I feel like it's great. I've never needed to use anything else, and I think that's the same with most of the people that I've worked with that are using, you know, anti-aromatizing agents.
It's harder on your HDL, though.
Sure.
Than Aromacin.
Absolutely.
So Aromacin's pretty. It doesn't affect your levels. So I like that too.
I subscribe to the, you know, and I know it's a real popular belief now. A lot of guys are using the Aromacin in their off seasons, you know, when estrogen control isn't quite as crucial, and then switching to Arimidex when they're dieting down. I'm kind of fond of that idea. I feel like my estrogen is totally fine using Aromacin when I'm using just, you know, HRT dosing. But I found that when the test dosing, everything else is a little bit higher, it's just like I had to stay right on top of it. If I missed a dose of Aromacin, I'd start noticing kind of like, you know, pre-gyno symptoms right away.
See, I'm kind of an estrogen Nazi.
Okay.
I give you an example. I have a friend of mine, and he's a pretty big guy, and he's pretty lean, and never uses an aromatase inhibitor. Never. Ever. Okay. And I said to him, I said, have you ever gotten labs? He goes, well, why? I don't have any gyno symptoms. I go, oh, there. I go, I can't believe you just gave me that statement. You
know? Right.
Because he's a smart guy, and he knows supplements. And I said, go get labs. Just appease me. I said, I'll pay for them.
Okay.
You know, he goes, oh, no, I'll get them.
Yeah.
Well, his estrogen was like 90 something.
Wow.
So he's like, wow. He goes, but I feel fine. I go, yeah, but imagine if it was 25.
Right.
How much more bioavailable testosterone you would have. And so he started using one.
Okay.
And he actually started getting better gains.
Hmm. Interesting.
You know, he didn't become Mr. Olympia in a week.
Right,
you
know, right. I mean, but he improved.
He saw the changes.
Nice.
So, you know, just because you don't get quarters in your tits and
right,
and you're like lactating on over, you know, over the kitchen table doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have a problem.
Sure. You know? Sure.
It's like Caber. You know, he's like, oh my God, drives me bananas. These guys that run trend, they think they have to run these prolactin.
Yes.
Progressions, you know, it's like it drives me just almost. I quit reading some of this stuff because, you know, estrogen is the prime cause of that.
Sure,
you know, it affects your progestins, which in the course of the pathway, right, raises your prolactin.
Okay,
you know, and if you keep your estrogen under control, you'll never need the other part.
I have never needed Caber once, never needed it.
Some people will make them loony too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then it's probably better off I don't take it in that case.
Yeah, it's not as bad as the other one, Prami. Yeah, that I had a friend of mine take that. I think he was gonna like jump off a bridge or something.
I've heard about that before. I've heard that stuff can be terrible.
Yeah, he said it was horrible.
Even at really tiny doses. I've heard of guys having issues because they try to start at like a minuscule dose and kind of build up over time. And I've had guys tell me that they had really bad experiences, like just from day one, even going that method. No, thank you. I'll stay away.
Well, I mean, it's very similar to SSRIs, you know, their action. So, you know, you're messing with your brain chemistry. So, yeah, it's... I don't like my brain is messed up enough.
It doesn't need any help, huh?
I don't need any extra help messing it up.
How important is estrogen control for the guys that are newer to gear and they're running just a small cycle? I've heard some people, like I had Dave Crossland on back on episode 2. He said that he thinks that you should not use any type of anti-aromatizing agent with 500 milligrams a test. He said that you should maybe use some Novadex if you have an issue, But outside of that, his thought is that let the estrogen go higher, create more water retention, get more progress and gains.
Well, for one thing, that doesn't make any sense. Sorry, Dave. But you want aromatase because aromatase causes IGF release in the liver.
Okay.
So when you have IGF release from the liver, IGF passes the satellite cells and binds to the androgen receptor. It's a different pathway than anabolic steroids. So you do want some aromatase. But if you have way too much, 500 milligrams, Novadex, it's a selective binder. It's a serum. So it's selecting where it wants to bind. You don't have a little chart on your body. You get to go, okay,
it's going
to bind. Here you go. I totally disagree with that.
Okay.
I do agree to the point though, where some guys will when they go on a cruise, like on the cruise phase, they'll go and just use Novadex because of the effects on the HDL or Arimidex.
That makes sense.
But to use Novadex and 500 milligrams of testosterone, you're doing nothing but you're just trapping your estrogen, let it circulating, continue to circulate in your body.
Gotcha.
And it takes they all go to the same receptors.
I'm gonna guess that his concern was people are overdoing it. I've seen it in my own life where I had taken too much Arimidex and I feel like it did affect my progress.
Oh yeah, that's why I tell these guys get lab work. The golden thing is nobody wants to do this, or a lot of people don't want to do this. You get lab work baseline before you start. You get it right in the middle, and you get it right at the end when you're done at the end.
Okay.
And if you do that one time, you have the golden book of information. Because you know where you were natural.
Yeah.
You know you were in the middle of this, and you know you were at the end.
Yeah.
And that information is just is golden, because it's telling you what your body is doing, is how it's reacting to testosterone or whatever you're taking.
Yeah.
And you can I can go back and look at lab work from years ago that I had, and my body to an extent will do the same things. It's off a little bit because I'm older, I aromatize more estrogen, but it's very similar.
Interesting. Yeah.
And, I always take my lab work and I write on it. I was this date, I did this, how long.
Okay.
I stack in a file,
Yeah.
That way I can go back and look at it. Cause I just keep it filed up. And it's good information, because sometimes you might be 7 or 8 years into using gear. You've got an issue, I don't feel right. Or I feel a little depressed or getting some gyno or whatever.
Yeah.
You can go back to when you did this before, similar cycle, and you can see, oh, wait a minute, I was doing something different. I don't remember. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was using a different aromatase inhibitor or a different amount or whatever,
Interesting. Yeah.
Plus GH can give you gyno too.
I've heard this before. I saw it happen to a friend of mine. I think we're kind of talking about something that's leading up to one of the questions I was going to ask a little later. And, you being on the boards, or you had been on the boards for years and years, what do you think overall guys are doing wrong? I see it all the time on message boards. What are some things that you can say are the top mistakes that people are making, especially the newer guys that are, just getting into gear in the last several years, and they're trying to design their cycles, and they're pretty much listening to the other guys on the boards and mimicking what they're doing. What could you tell them to stop doing that might help them improve?
I think guys get into, I think if you're going to use insulin, you better be a top national level or pro bodybuilder.
Okay.
I don't think it's a place for a recreational gym goer. Unless you want to take insulin the rest of your life.
You think that it'll shut down your natural production?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you take enough of it long enough.
Okay.
I mean, I just don't see a place in it unless it's your living. you know, or you're progressing right to that level, you know. I think I see too much. You see these like weird mixes, like guys taking, I don't know, just this, like this hodgepodge. Like it's his second cycle. He's got like 9 products, compounds in there.
Yeah,
and 4 of them are the exact same thing. You know, it's like, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, why? You know,
yeah.
So it's almost like you're wasting your money.
Okay.
You know, you could why take Perviron, Anavar, and Winstrol together?
Sure.
It's like, you know, why? Unless you only have like a little bit of each one or something, and you're trying to like get something out of it. But, you know, I see a lot of guys bulking with I don't like Tren.
No?
Tren's not that good of a muscle builder.
Okay.
Prisno, oh my God, he's crazy. Hey, go read up on Tren Balon. It's not the greatest muscle builder.
Okay.
Testosterone crushes it. I mean, if somebody came to me and said, hey, I want to pump some size, good. Take some tests and DECA. There you go.
Okay.
And AI. People with like masty and bulking cycles, stuff like that. It makes really no sense at all. You know, I think people just take stuff to take it.
Yeah. I could see that, man. They just want to add it in. And I think there's a lot of guys under the misconception that they need to take more because that's what the pros do. And in order to look like the pros, that's what they're going to have to do. You know,
that's not what all the pros are doing. That's one thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's insulin's the main one. In long-term GH use, I've really lately become the last year or so, there's been some studies that have proven that you can use it every other day and get better results than every day.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, I have some friends that have used a lot of GH and gone the hypoglycemic route first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it reverses back into the type 2, the hypo. And now their insulin is their friend for life.
Yeah. So. You brought up an interesting question here to me. I remember a few years back, do you remember on the boards when guys were promoting the use of GH every other day or just a few times a week? So instead of doing like, 30 units spread throughout the week every day, they would take like 3 big shots on their workout days. Mm-hmm. So are you saying, is there maybe going to be more benefit to do that versus using it every day?
I've done that.
What did you think about that?
Actually, I got pretty crazy with that one time.
Okay.
Bang for your buck, it's not worth it.
Okay.
You know, I think we were up to 15 IUs post-workout.
Wow.
And only on weak body part days. So 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay.
And there was some returns from it. I mean, it was working, but if you look at the cost,
yeah,
to what you're getting out of it, you know, I had no aspirations to be a pro or to be, anything like that. So I thought to myself, wow, this is kind of a waste of money.
Okay.
And, but yeah, I mean, it can be effectively done. You know, if you're financially in that situation, you know, large post-workout dosing, you know, especially on weak body part days and stuff like that, you know, and you have real GH, that probably helps too. I had a client one time. The guy showed up. I'd see him about once every 2 weeks, and he looked like he was like 20 pounds heavier every time I saw him.
No kidding.
And he was one of those ones that kind of didn't tell you what he was doing.
Okay.
Like you give him the plan, and then the plan kind of went to his plan.
Okay.
And he just showed up one day. I'm like, dude, how much GH are you taking?
Yeah.
He's like, 25 IUs a day.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, man, you are I said, every day? He goes, no, I skip Sundays. I mean, it was working, but I mean, you put the pen to paper to add it up. It's like, holy crap, you're an NPC competitor, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like, he was kind of extreme. Yeah, some people are. There's some really extreme people out there.
Sure, sure.
I had a good friend of mine that almost died at a show.
No kidding.
I remember being at his house a couple weeks before. He had competed nationally, and I want to say that he came in third or fourth at nationals in light heavies at 1 year, 2 years in a row. So he was there. You know, he was a contender.
Okay.
And he asked me to get something out of his cupboard. So I opened his cupboard. There's this piece of paper down the whole cupboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like this list of drugs. I mean, there had to be 25 things on there.
Okay.
And I go, what is this? He goes, oh, that's my daily cycle. I'm like, oh, I mean, it had to be like 6-7 grams.
Holy shit.
You know.
Was he a huge dude?
No, he's light heavyweight. He trained he hardly trained.
Oh, man.
He'd like sit on the chest press machine, like the Nautilus.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do reps and talk to you. The guy was a freak. He was genetically just gifted.
Okay.
I mean, he's on drugs, but yeah, he had a heart attack between them. He was winning. He was in first, and he had a heart attack in the shower at the hotel between the morning and night show.
Holy cow. At the show, huh? This happened. This is the day of the show.
Yep. He got this great idea that if he ate 4 blister packs of Clen, he would dry out more.
Hmm. 4
that
blister
didn't work
packs.
Out well.
So what are we talking? 10 tabs per blister pack?
Yeah. Yeah, 10 times 20 micrograms.
Holy cow.
Or 40 times, so what's that, 800 micrograms?
That's ridiculous, man. Wow, and he had a heart attack. Well, there's a story, guys, right there. It goes to show you, you know, you abuse this stuff, which that was obviously abuse, you know, and bad things happen. Was he okay? Did he survive that heart attack?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
He went to the hospital. He didn't have any insurance.
Okay.
They gave him the charcoal mm-hmm. thing, and he cleaned himself all out and took his IVs out and left, walked out.
Wow.
And he's never competed again.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, I've seen a few of those like that over the years. You know, I guess you have too, probably. You know, it happens. You know.
Yeah, yeah, we attract a very extreme, you know, type of person in bodybuilding. And I, you know, I can't say that I'm not extreme. You sound like you've got your own flair of being extreme, but definitely, man, there's some ones out there that take it to the next level. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I had a competitor once that went to weigh in. He was a light heavyweight, barely made the weight, looked great. Man, I mean, I'm looking at, you know how it is at the weigh-ins. You're kind of checking everybody out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like, man, this dude, he could win this thing, you know.
Okay.
He's filling out good. I mean, he looked good. So I didn't see him until the next morning. I got in my chair. The audience is a buddy of mine, and his wife was there. And he came out for prejudging. And his stomach was, like, super distended.
Hmm.
And he just looked real sluggish, and he actually walked off the stage before they were done.
No kidding.
And I was like, told his wife, I said, you need to call an ambulance.
Yeah.
So he's going to cardiac arrest. And went back there, and he's laying there, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, what did you take?
Yeah.
You know, he was always kind of an extreme guy too. Nothing. You know, he denied everything.
Yeah.
Wouldn't go to the hospital, you know, shoved him full of potassium, shoved him full of bananas, whatever, Gatorade. He went home the next day in his driveway, he collapsed. And fortunately, another guy we knew who was a pro strongman lived near them, came and picked him up out of the driveway. They took him to the hospital. And his AST and ALT were like 900.
Holy shit.
So his wife called me and she said, the doctor wants to know what he took. And I said, he said he didn't take anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a big diuretic proponent, you know? And so finally I went over there and I said, look, dude, there's no one else around. I said, what did you do?
Yeah.
He, well, I didn't think I was dry enough. So I took, he took, like nine, he took like six Lasix and like nine diazides.
Wow. So for the listeners out there, cause we do have a lot of experienced listeners, but we do have some newer guys too. The other week, Chuck gave us a breakdown on the different diuretics out there. You know, he's a registered nurse. And one of the things we talked about was Lasix and diazide both. So as I had mentioned on that last show, diazide dosing, like I've been able to get away lately, if we use it at all, like a half a tab, maybe at the very most, like extreme, maybe a half a tab three times on Friday before the show, you know, but nine tabs plus six Lasix. That's, I can't imagine how somebody didn't die taking that. In a dehydrated state to begin with.
Well, he was too dumb to die. That's what I told him. The guy's too much of a knucklehead to die.
I guess, man. That's crazy.
You know? Yeah, I'm not a big diuretic fan.
Yeah.
I generally, maybe a half diazide is tops.
Yeah.
Total. You know? I mean, there's other ways to manipulate water.
Sure. Sure.
And, you know, I, if someone's in shape, they don't need all that, you know.
I agree. If you're taking a bunch of like a ton of diuretic or, you know, of any type, it, obviously something wasn't right, you know. Something was off to begin with.
Yeah, it was not a good scene. I mean, I have a arterial stenosis. It's a hereditary kidney disease problem.
Okay.
So I have to take a diuretic every day.
Okay.
It's a small amount. It doesn't affect me in any way. I don't urinate more than normal or anything.
Yeah. Just,
my whole family has it.
So is that like, you know, like a hydrochlorothiazide or something you use?
Yeah. 12.5 milligrams.
Tiny dose.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even take it half the time. I got like a pile of like 7,000 of them.
Right.
Yeah. Don't call me anyone. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's, that one almost blew my mind. I was like, but then I thought it didn't surprise me after the whole thing was over with that he did that, you know, and he's competed since.
Yeah.
And not done real well.
Okay, man.
That's placing. That was the second time he had competed as me coaching him. And the first time was he won his class.
Okay.
And I don't believe he's placed since. So.
Hmm.
I'm not saying it was all because of me, but you know, he I think he continued on an extreme path, and the human body can only take so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before it's just, it gets overrun.
I agree.
Especially with that much, those kind of loop diuretics and stuff. They're bad news. Fighting sports, maybe. You know, if you need to make some changes. But actually, I taught some. I have an MMA fighter I know.
Okay.
And they were talking about cutting weight. You know, and they're like in the Stone Ages.
Oh, they know nothing compared to us as far as the science behind it. Absolutely.
No. I wrestled in high school. They're still in sauna suits in the sauna.
Oh, yeah.
Downstairs. And so he had a guy that needed to lose 5 pounds. And I'm like, give him an enema.
Yeah.
He goes, give him an enema? Oh, yeah, give him an enema. Well, not you. I mean, get his girlfriend or somebody to do it, you know?
Have him do it himself.
What's that going to do? I go, he'll probably lose 6 or 7 pounds.
Sure.
He lost 8 pounds.
Nice.
And it didn't affect his performance because it didn't dry him out. He wasn't dehydrated more and more.
Right, right.
You know, electrolytes and, you know, essential minerals and everything were all even more depleted, you know.
Right.
So, everyone's gonna be out getting enemas now.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, there.
Fleet enema sale at Walgreens.
Hey, that's the untalked about thing in bodybuilding. I think that, you know what, man. Too, you get to the end of the contest prep. It's not always the easiest time going to the bathroom when you're dehydrated and, you know, you haven't had like a high carb diet for a long time. So, you know, it happens, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I have the funniest story. I got to tell this one.
All right. So let's hear it.
There's multiple people in the group that we all trained with. Okay. That were doing this one show. I wasn't doing the show. I was doing one a week later. And my bodybuilding career sucked, by the way. I was a much better power lifter.
Okay.
And the one guy that I knew, I'll give you an example of this guy. He joined the police force like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He quit because it wasn't enough funny. He went in the Army Rangers to go fight in Afghanistan.
Jeez.
So he's like, you know, he's like hardcore.
I guess, man, that's tough.
And, so he couldn't make light heavyweight. He was close. He was 3-4 pounds over, but he was as dry as he was going to get.
Yeah.
So girlfriend administers Fleet enema. And this is like 3-4 hours from weigh-in, you know?
Right.
And this particular show was on a military post. So you had to check in at the gate, you know, get your badge and all this crap. Everybody stood in line. So we go 3-4 hours, and he hasn't gone to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So we're driving there. And I said, hey, man, do you have to crap?
Yeah.
He's like, nah, I'm all right. Man, we get to that line. We're standing in line. He's like, man, I got a shit.
Oh, jeez.
I got a shit. And he barrels on through the line into this little 400-square-foot you know, checkout post. And they have this little urinal latrine in the corner.
Yeah.
And it sounded like an atom bomb.
Oh, God. I bet, man.
I mean, he cleared that place out in no time. He made weight, won his class, and won the overall.
Nice. I guess that's that's all that matters, right?
Yeah. The old enema trick.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know. I don't know if you ever heard of that one before, but it works pretty good.
It does. No, I had to use it one time. And for me, it was more about stomach distension just from the food I'd been eating. And it worked great, man. It's something that I definitely always keep around and hope I don't have to use. But if I do, man, I'm not too proud. I'll do it if I have to, if that's what it takes.
Yeah, I don't generally carry it with me. But, you know.
If I'm getting ready for a show the week out, man, I'm prepared. Otherwise, I don't keep one on hand at the studio here.
You're not toting one in your bag with you.
Right. Just take it to the gym. You never know.
Anybody need an enema? Yeah, here you go. So, but yeah, that was a pretty funny story. But he made weight. He did real well.
Nice. Yeah,
brought home the sword.
So back on PED, there was a ton of talk about berberine and metformin. Like GDAs were like the hot topic for a while. And I think that due to PED, like berberine sales went up like tenfold through the bodybuilding industry. What are your take on those things? Because I never felt like you really had a strong opinion either way.
Well, it kind of fell into my insulin, not discussing insulin a whole lot.
Okay.
So it kind of fell down the same route. But I think, you know, at first I found berberine to be effective.
Yeah.
In trials, but then I found it to be less effective.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, it's not going to mess with your blood glucose like metformin will. I think I'll put it this way. If you're going to use a drug and you need something to fix it, you should fix it with a drug.
Okay.
So that probably would answer the question, you know.
That makes sense.
Some guys, I know a couple guys just way overuse metformin. Like they're in the off season. Every time they get a big meal, they're using it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think comes to a point where, you know, you can overuse it.
I don't
think berberine is as effective as once thought. You know,
You know what I've seen with it is I've seen it as effective for some people, and then not even from the same source, not as effective for others. I've seen people that get no benefit from it. So I think there's a question of like bioavailability.
Well, anything that has like six names.
Yeah.
I question too.
That's okay, a good point.
Why do you have six names for the same drug? You know?
Yeah.
I do know a couple natural guys that used it.
Okay.
That said it was pretty effective. I have no idea if that was because they were natural. When I mean natural, they were really natural.
Yeah.
Unless you call berberine not natural. But
no, I hear what you mean. No performance enhancement. They weren't stopping the clen 2 weeks before they took the piss test.
Nope. And no T3, nothing. No, yeah. They were naturals. And I know one in particular that used berberine that he found to be very effective. I don't remember which bark or the root of the, because what is there? How many versions of it are there?
I don't even know.
Five names or six names.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I sent a client to get it one time, and they're like, "Hey, I'm at the store. I got this and this and."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute! I had to go look it back up because I didn't realize there was that many different names for it." You know.
Yeah, I've seen the berberine HCL, which is, you know, just like a standardized extract. So that's what I've seen people going with mostly. And I just assume that, you know, that it's going to be more effective because it's the standardized extract. But I don't know about the other variations.
Have you used it?
No, I don't really need anything like that. I've just seen other people use it. And like I said, I saw one person who had zero results. Like, I'm talking zero. And she was very in tune with her diet. And if there would have been a change, she would have noticed it. But there was nothing. And then I've seen other people using this exact same product from the same company that got decent results from it. So it's hard to say. And because of that, man, I feel like, you know what, if you feel like you could benefit from a glucose disposal agent like this, then sure, you know, try it out. But if it doesn't work, be quick to move on and find something that does.
Yeah, it depends on what's carbs, you know, what your carbohydrate intake is too.
True.
Kind of carbs you're taking in.
True. Yeah, you're right, man. Diet definitely plays a big role in that. And she was using carb meals, and she, you know, was using the standard dosing. And then I've heard that, though, in other cases, that for some people, because I've heard several people now that it hasn't done anything for, I've heard that there is maybe an issue with bioavailability, that not everybody absorbs it as well as others.
Yeah, that very well can be true. I mean, I don't think there's, over the years I've learned that I don't care what it is. Nobody, if you took 10 people and lined them up and gave them the exact same thing,
yeah,
you're going to find about three or four that probably don't react the same as the other, you know, five or six.
Sure.
Regardless, it's Watson's ipunate.
Sure.
You know, it's just, the human body is, We're all different, you know?
Right, right. And,
that's why I always like the experiment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that kind of brings us back around full circle to where we started. You know, you had mentioned to me that you are building a new company. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I think we had mentioned it on the Bodybuilding Nerd show, but we're actually about ready to go live.
Okay. It's moving fast then.
Hey, I want to plug out to myself because I figured something out that was wrong.
Okay.
In the computer, like the thing, you know, the cart thing.
So, okay.
You know, I felt really important that day. I don't know shit about computers.
But you look smart, you know, that day, right?
Google's my friend. And so it was had to do with the SSL.
Okay.
The cart. And so I Googled it. I sent it to my IT guy. I go, "Have you looked at this?" He's like, "No. Wait a minute." Then that's what the problem was.
Nice.
He called WooCommerce and got it fixed. So, Yeah, we're pretty close to going live. He's told me today he's open for a couple days from now.
Okay.
We're gonna I think tonight we're gonna do like some test runs, some you know, buy some just you know myself and him buy some memberships to see make sure your thing goes through and
yeah
everything's visible and then the private forum is private.
So tell us, can't be lurked. For the people that haven't listened to when you came on with Bodybuilding Nerds, tell us a little bit about it. What are you setting up here?
Well, it's going to be a website. It's going to be like a message form.
Okay.
It's going to be called Advanced Training Tech by S2H. And I did not want to put S2H in there, but they insisted I did.
Okay.
And then it's going to have one public form, one public thread. And that thread's going to tell you what it's about. You know, hey, you can sign up for a private plan. Which okay. is $5.99 a month, $5.99 a month.
Okay.
And that gains you access to the private forum, which will have five or six different subforms: diet, training, supplementation, member picks for competitors and stuff. And what we're looking for is not over moderation. But there is a one warning, and if you can't behave, then you're gone.
Okay.
You know, it's we want people that really want to learn about the sport and about you know issues they're having, or they can ask questions and not get flamed and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a VIP section below that where you have an option where you can buy regular plans that I have and my coaches have, you know, for pre-contest, off-season, whatever.
Nice.
Month to month, too. And, of course, we have a cart there. So you can purchase through the cart in e-commerce right there.
Okay.
And then once you get a plan, you get your own thread. And in that thread, the only people that can see that thread is myself. If I'm not the coach, I can still see it since I'm the owner of the board, and then the coach you're working with, and then that person. And so imagine you had a log, you know, like you did a, like Don Allison has that long log on RX Muscle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it could be like that. You could stay with the same coach for years, and all you do is just, you can always go back and look at, you know, through the pages.
That's an excellent
idea.
How
you progressed. And my main reason for doing this is, and you know as a coach, is it centralizes the communication.
Yes.
There's no texting. There's no emailing. There's no PMing on board. There's, you know, you're all in one location.
Right.
In one thread. And no one else can see that. It's not shared with any of the private members. And people can stay a private member as long as they want to.
Okay.
As long as they behave.
Yeah.
And we're going to open up more. I'm going to open up more. A lot of times on these other boards, I don't say as much as I could say.
Sure.
You know, so I'm going to give more information. Rick's going to give more information. Our female coach is going to get more information to a point.
Right.
You know, we're not going to write your plan for $5.99 a month.
Right, right. I mean, it's your time, it's your energy, it's the life you've spent learning the information that you're going to share. It's worth something, absolutely.
Right. And you know, you get a lot of people that are new to the sport, and they, you know, you get the guy with the first-time bleeder, you know. Oh, my God. You know, and you can say, okay, it's okay, you're not going to die, you know.
Right.
You know, it looks like a murder scene in your bathroom, you know. And people can interact. We want the private members to interact with each other too.
Yeah.
And share information.
People will dig that, man, too, because everybody is into the team mentality now, you know? And you kind of, that'll be great. You can give people a place where not only are they part of the team, but they can interact with the other team members. Man, I think it's a good move.
I'm hoping it's good. My IT guy is a programmer.
Okay.
And so building websites is not his forte. So we've got some we're going to have another guy I know that just does web design, so we're going to kind of make it look a little fancier.
Yeah, outside, yeah. You know? Sharpen it
and
up.
And then we're going to have an OTC shop that's similar to, I guess, that's like bodybuilding.com, but not that many SKUs, but he's got like 1,400 SKUs.
Nice, nice.
And it's all, you know, legitimate, like Aspari or Librata, because Aspari's out of business. But anyway, Librata stuff, whatever. Well,
they were bought by High Tech, I believe it was.
High Tech, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll have whatever he carries in his stores, in his chain, he'll have on this website. So if you need BCAAs or you need extra workouts or you need whey protein or whatever,
yeah.
And then only private members get a certain discount to this shop that's on the open forum.
Yeah.
They get a special discount.
Nice.
And I have a lot of articles I've written over the years, and a lot of them I haven't posted ever. So we're going to put that in there. We're going to put some training videos in. We're nowhere. We're in first grade, and John Meadows is in a PhD, you know, with his mountain dog thing.
Sure.
You know, but it's kind of similar in a way.
Okay.
And I'm not looking for thousands of members, you know. If I had 75 good people, you know, that's fine with me.
Right on. Well, you're a smart guy, man. And like we've been saying through this whole thing here, you've spent, you know, a huge chunk of your life dedicated to the science and the experience to bring you where you are today. So I think it would be, especially, man, to just sign up for $5.99. You know, if you can get some valuable information out of that, you know, especially for the newer guys that you come to the message boards, it's hard to decipher who's good to listen to. You hear 100 different things on what you should be doing and how you should run your clan and what your first cycle should be. I wish that I knew where I could go, where I could just say, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy and hear what he has to say. It would have expedited the experience. That's for sure. That's a lot of the reason that I coach today is I wish I had someone like myself available, you know?
Well, I told you on the BNR show, you guys are going to get a free pass to come in. So,
all right. I'm going to pester the hell out of you. I'm going to ask you all sorts of questions every day. We'll see how far. I'm going to try to get you to write a diet for me and everything.
Then my super moderator, who will be the disciplinarian, he'll get rid of
me. Oh, shit. So,
but there are going to be some folks that like yourself that I'm going to, you know, I would like, if you'd like to come in and not pay and be part of the community, it would be great because, you know, I mean, the more experienced people that are mature and are wanting to be involved, you know, that's, you know, I want that too. You know, I don't want to hide it from, you know, I mean, if you come in there and somebody wants to hire you, that's fine with me, you know.
I mean, oh, right on. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the offer too. I'll definitely come over and check it out. And if I can contribute anything that makes the place better, man, I feel like, you know, instead of everybody working against each other, if we can all work together, we can all enrich each other's lives and we can all make this whole thing a better experience, you know?
Yeah. And we're going to do a podcast, I think.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to you about that later down the road because I'm not podcast. My IT guy has figured out a way to make a VPN podcast.
Okay.
You all sound like there's no more Skype.
Okay.
Where it's like it actually, we test kind of drove it, and it sounds like you're in the same room.
No kidding, huh?
Yeah, you have to get buy a permit from the FCC.
Okay.
Because it's considered a radio show then.
Interesting. I like where this is going. I got to talk to Rick about this.
But it's cheap. It's like $39 a year.
Okay. You know? Huh.
And so he's figured this out, and we did a little trial, and so we'll, you know.
I want to hear it. Yeah. I want to hear how it sounds, man.
You never know. You might get four people in there. It might sound like death.
Well, what's the name of the site? I don't think you told us yet.
It's advancedtrainingtech.com.
All right, great. That sounds awesome.
If you look it up right now, it looks like a jigsaw puzzle.
Okay.
He hasn't, you know how it is. When you work the back end, if I go in as an admin, it looks good.
Yeah.
But if I go in as just a just regular, you know, person looking at it, it looks like crap. So we haven't ironed. Well, it's ironed out, but I guess I don't know enough about computers.
You know what? You're being too hard on yourself, man. I'm looking at it right now. I see, you know, it's got a little bit of work to go. You're figuring some stuff out. But, man, it looks like it's going to be a good site. Now, before the site is up and running, is there anywhere else people should go to contact you? Or what would you suggest if anybody wanted to reach out to you before then?
Yeah, s2htraining@gmail.com.
All right, and, perfect.
I did put that on the Bodybuilding Nerd Show, and I actually got some people that emailed me.
Awesome.
Wanted
man.
To sign up. So, and then once you get in, we're not going to be super, super picky, but, you know, if, like, let's say you're in there and you have someone you know that's a mature adult, and you can, it'll be a referral system, you know?
Okay.
Because we don't want, there's just a lot of people I don't want in there, you know. I don't want a bunch of garbage, you know.
Okay. You know, yeah, makes sense, man. Quality. Keep it clean and, you know, good people and good information, good energy, you know. And I think that you'll have a lot of success with it. So, man, I wish you a lot of luck with it, Scott. And I appreciate you coming on here to Advices Radio and letting me bend your ear for a while and getting everything that you had to say, because this is a lot of great information. So, Scott, thanks for being here.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And for Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally. Good night. Great episode on the Advices Radio Network. If you are interested in advertising opportunities, please contact us through McNallyDiets@gmail.com.